Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Electric vehicles.
Yes.
There are, I guess, about 7% of all new vehicles sold in the United States right now are electric. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And sales are slowing a little bit, and there's been a lot of headlines about that, but we bought a record number of them, 1.2 million last year, and EV sales continued to grow in the first quarter of the year. So it's the wave of the future, and it's coming. But if you're thinking about making a switch, we just did a big podcast all about that, a Consumerpedia podcast. By the way, I'm Herb Weissbaum at checkbook.org.
Oh, and, they know that.
I know, but just, you know, it could be a new listener. Somebody could be tuning in.
We should get a jingle. We should get a jingle. Herb Weissbaum, Consumer. Superman, WGN.
I used to have one when I was on KGO. It was fabulous. I'll send it to Brendan. Maybe he can come up with something.
You had a Herb Weissbaum jingle on KGO?
I did have a Herb Weissbaum jingle on KGO.
If people don't know, KGO at one point was one of the greatest.
It's the WGN of San Francisco.
Was one of the greatest stations in Chicago until new owners trashed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Absolutely.
Oh, we'd love to hear that jingle. I'd love to get that jingle, Herb.
I'll send it to you. That's good. Right. Okay. But for the listeners, we digress. So anyway, we did this podcast, consumerpedia.org, on talking to Consumer Reports about things you need to know and decisions you need to make if you're thinking about getting rid of your internal combustion engine. So first of all, what's available? There are about 40 battery electric vehicles in the market right now, sedans, SUVs, trucks, and sports cars. So there are a lot more to choose from. They do have supply. They all the problems with the chain that took place during the pandemic, they've worked themselves out. So there are models available. And there are three basic options to choose from. And I think we need to understand that if we're going to talk about this. So you have the hybrid, you got the plug-in electric, right, and you got the hybrid electric plug-in. So the hybrid, which has been around while most people know about that, that's what I have. I have a Toyota Camry hybrid. It runs on gas and electric. Right. You can run it solely on electric if you need to go for a little while, like if it's going really slow. But you have the best of both worlds. It gets really good mileage because it combines, the computer figures out how to use the electric and the gasoline together. There's the plug-in electric, which is 100% battery powered. You plug it in, you charge it up, you run on the vehicle, and that's the battery. Then there's the hybrid electric plug-in vehicle, and that has a gas tank plus the battery pack, and it works off the electric battery most of the time unless you run out of power. So people use those. Those are great for people who commute around town but want to have a little bit of extra leeway. If they go further, they aren't going to run out of a charge. So they go 30 to 45 miles, let's say, on a charge, but then you can switch to the gasoline engine. And that'll get you further if you need to go. Now, I know people here in my neighborhood who have them. They play this game, how long can I keep a tank of gasoline in the car without ever using it? Because that's the value. But they have it if for some reason, you know, they get stuck, they need to do something, they got that. So those are your choices, the hybrid, the plug-in electric, and the plug-in electric hybrid to make that all work.
Well, so the thing is, too, when you, as far as I understand it, you're going to plug it in. It's going to take a while for this to recharge. I mean, like hours. Right.
And unless you have a rapid charge and you go to some place or certain places like Tesla has rapid charge vehicles, but they'll take a while. Yeah.
Yeah. 30 minutes at least.
Yeah. Right? And if you know, and there's been some problems with the chargers that have been broken and there are not enough chargers in place. And then the infrastructure bill is, you know, it's going to take some time to put all this infrastructure in place. So that's the big consideration. You know, when people have questions about EVs, there are two questions. The number one thing is, well, you know, do I have limited range? And then the second question is, what's the price? So let's tackle the range. It's clearly getting better. It's clearly getting a lot further. Some of the new vehicles coming out on the market can easily go 200, 300, 350, and some 400 miles in between charge. And the battery technology is getting better all the time. While there have been some problems with the batteries by federal regulation have to be guaranteed for 8 years or 100,000 miles. So you're pretty certain that you're going to have no problem down the road for a while. But the question is, has anyone checked to see if those mileage claims are accurate? Well, Alex Kinesic was the guest on our Consumerpedia podcast. He is the Associate Director of Auto Test Development at Consumer Reports. And I asked him that question about testing. They tested a whole bunch of models, and here's what they found out, John.
You know, on average, I would say they were all pretty close, actually, to their EPA number, which was refreshing. That means that even when you put them into a more demanding test, they actually stayed close to what their window sticker says, which is great. I think that's, you know, helpful for consumers.
So that's nice to know that you're going to get the mileage in most cases. In some cases, they even did better than the mileage that was put on the sticker. But the manufacturers seem to be pretty honest with the testing that takes place, the EPA sticker that's on the vehicle. I have a question for you, Mr. Landegger. Here's a consumer quiz.
Yes, okay.
So a gasoline-powered vehicle, as we all know, does better on the highway than it does on city driving.
If you go at the right speed.
Yes. So, but all things being equal, if you keep it at a steady speed on the highway, yes, that's the most efficient way to drive a internal combustion engine. Right. What is the dynamics for an electric vehicle? Does it do better in city traffic, or does it do the same as a car do better on highway traffic?
I would think it does the same. I don't know if it does better than the combustion engine, but I would think it does as an electric vehicle. It would have the same no matter where it was.
Well, I don't know the physics, but believe it or not, according to Consumer Reports, the battery-powered vehicle does a little bit better in the city than
really?
It does on the highway, which is
Why
a different
would that
be? Than the. I didn't take physics in high school, so I don't know. But that's the way it is. It's just the aerodynamics and the way it's. Oh, and by the way, one thing to keep in mind is the. Remember, we talked about the plug-in hybrid.
Yes.
So because that has the battery pack in it, it gets a little less. It's heavier. It gets a little less mileage than the gas-powered vehicle, the same make, because it's got all that battery to take around when you're not using. You know, when if you switch on the gas, it's gonna get lower gas mileage. But again, people who get that tend to try to use it not for the gasoline but for the electric vehicle. So we tackled the. Do you want to do the one last one before I finish that I mentioned, which is the price?
I want to do a break and come back. And
you want to do a commercial, and then we'll talk price. Okay.
Yes. More,
sell some stuff.
Yes, we will on 720 WGN. Vehicles.
Yes.
They're electric. Boogie, 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 boogie. Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man from consumer.org.
Checkbook.org.
With us again, giving great advice on things that we need to know that are out there in the world. And we wonder, scratch our heads, like electric vehicles. I mean, how about the price?
That's the other thing. Yep, that's the other thing that's holding back some people. They're more expensive generally than conventionally powered vehicles. Latest numbers I was able to get from Kelley Blue Book, the average non-luxury new car sold for $48,000 in April, while the average EV went for $55,500.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot different. But there are some tax credits available that you can get up to $7,500 federal tax credit for about 20 vehicles have a tax credit of $3,500 to $7,500. And starting the first of this year, the credit is now something that automatically comes off the top. It's not like you have to apply for it and wait for it. So that can take place right at the dealership. So there's about half the vehicles out there are available for some form of tax credit. Some states give credits, and the local utilities may offer a deal on installing a charger. So take a look at that. The other question is the repair. Because they have fewer moving parts, electric vehicles cost less to maintain than those with internal combustion engines. No oil changes. The brakes last longer because they have what's called regenerative braking, so the brakes are designed to actually recharge the battery. But then the question comes to be, how do they do with reliability? So reliability and maintenance are two different things. Maintenance is upkeep of the car. Reliability is how well it's built and how long it's going to last. So on the Consumerpedia podcast, our second guest was Steve Ellick, and he leads the auto data analysis program at CR, and he explained why electric vehicles are not as reliable as internal combustion engines. Here's what Steve had to say.
EVs tend to be less reliable because they're a new technology. Gas cars have been around for a century, whereas EVs are a new technology and they just have a lot of new things in them. And those are what's going wrong. You know, we see issues with the EV charger, the EV motor, and the EV battery packs. In other cases, there are build quality issues, like some of these are newer brands like Rivian or Tesla. So they haven't figured out the build quality part of it yet. And that's where we're seeing a little bit of more issues.
So here are the hard numbers, John. Based on Consumer Reports' annual survey of its members, subscribers, they asked 330,000 people responded about their experience with their vehicles. Hybrids were 26% fewer problems than gas vehicles. electric vehicles had 79% more problems than gas vehicles.
Man.
And plug-in hybrids had 146% more problems than gas vehicles. Now, there's a model here, a model there that in the mix, this is the whole category that do much better than average, and you can find all that information on consumerreports.org. But again, it's new technology, which is why the final tip they gave me, John, and it's really important, is we've always said, don't buy the first model year vehicle, even a redesign, because they're working out the bugs. Well, that's especially true. Everybody wants the newest and latest and coolest thing, but especially with electric vehicles, I would steer clear of the first year of that model. Let them get the bugs worked out on that model, see what's going on. Don't be the initial, you know, let somebody else be the first one to get it on the block, not you, because this is new technology. It's new building. The ones, by the way, that tended to do the best were the vehicles, and especially the hybrids, that come from manufacturers who've been making the traditional vehicles all along, and it was a little easier for them to switch to hybrids than it was to go the whole electric vehicle. And that's why the hybrids are doing better, because they're from the legacy manufacturers who've been making vehicles for a long time and sort of kind of have this thing figured out. But that's where we stand as far as all that goes.
Hello?
Yes. I have a question for her.
Please. Yes. You?
Hey, news guy.
At this point, are hybrids going to be the new in thing as opposed to flat out just EVs? And how much of a break? And how much of a break can you get on the price because it's partially an electric vehicle?
You can't get any break on the price. There's no tax credits available for that. They are very popular right now because of the experience that's being reported by Consumer Reports that some people are having problems with the fully electric vehicles. You know, where we're at right now, David, is sort of that people who were early adopters have adopted. And now the people who want to make a little change and reduce their carbon footprint but aren't sure they want to go all the way are going with hybrids. Because, you know, the hybrid of the Camry that I have gets like 42 miles a gallon. That's a 2020. The 2025 gets like, I don't know, 52 miles a gallon or something. And they're not sure they want to make the full, especially with the chargers, they want to take the full plunge.
Yep.
Now the automakers have to, and now this lower price models are starting to come out. There are going to be some vehicles starting in the $30,000 price range. It just started to hit the market. Their starting price of $30,000. But we have a long way to go before that's the first choice for some people. Hybrid's going to be the safe point, the place to go. And by the way, there is one thing that you can do to cut the cost that Consumer Reports pointed out. A lot of vehicles now available on the used car market, the used electric car market. Again, the warranty is at least 8 years or 100,000 miles on the battery pack. And we have always suggested, and all consumer advocates have suggested, as you know, not to lease your vehicles because in the long run it costs you more. With EVs, they're now saying, and we are saying in Consumer Reports, it may not be so bad to lease that vehicle. A, the technology is changing so rapidly. In 3 years, who knows what battery packs are going to do. B, you may not really like it. And C, you may be able to qualify for a tax credit if you lease the vehicle, because the dealer can get the credit and then they're willing to pass it along to you. You have to check with them and make sure that you couldn't get for the vehicles that don't qualify as an individual. So that may be a money-saving way. So you need to run the numbers and see if the vehicle you're thinking about doesn't have a tax credit. See if you could lease it, and then you could get the money back right there on the spot.
That's why he's who he is. Herb Weissbaum, the consumer man. And Herb, we've got people listening. I can't get to their text, but how can they get to you?
Sure. Go to my website, consumerman.com. All my checkbook stories and podcasts are there in one place. I also have a way you can email me through the website. Every listener who says, I heard you on Landecker, I have a question, I individually answer those questions. And do I have time just to give you the free link?
Oh, sure.
So I got to get the link here. So this is for all of if you live in Chicagoland, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Seattle, San Francisco, Boston, Philly, or Washington, D.C., checkbook.org/WGN radio, and you can get all of our ratings for doctors and dentists and vets and everything for free. No obligation. All our stuff is free except for the ratings to members. But because we love you, John, checkbook.org/WGN radio, and you get all those things for free for 30 days. And we hope you'll like it and sign up, but there's absolutely no obligation.
Thanks, Herb. I look forward to talking to you again. Always informative. Thank you for being with us, Herb Weissbaum.
Drive safely, John.
Yes, a consumer man.